Anyways, the show. We have a show to do.
Okay.
Here, like, no, like, let's the hose the show.
Okay, I'm ready. That's why I show up every week. I show up to provide entertainment for the people, for the masses.
What's your batting average on that?
I'm going to say 999. Is that about right?
I think you're rounding up. I'm going to give you a good solid. You're like the nine hitting shortstop. So you hit, you know, 260, no one's going to cry.
Okay, 260 on a good year.
Yeah.
You punch a couple of RBIs, hits. Yeah.
Just, you know what? Stay out of the double play. That's your, you know, you learn to bunt, stay out of the double play.
Okay, thank you. Advice to live by.
Hello and welcome to episode 279 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam. Oh, sorry. I was dramatic pausing.
Right. Okay. I had to look and see that it's what episode we're on. 279? Does that sound right?
That sounds like about 276 too many.
There's the old can-do attitude.
My wife was like, shouldn't you have stopped at about 11?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, ours go to 11.
Yeah.
Obviously.
But we didn't.
No.
Okay. So no. Let's just keep marching along.
Amazon.
Oh, yes.
I keep getting emails and messages from people who are saying, hey, I'm buying my stuff on Amazon through your site. Appreciate the show.
Great.
I don't know if they actually are, but they're just saying it, and that's as good as gold.
Yeah, that's the same. It's the same either way. Just tell us that you're buying stuff on Amazon.
Yeah. Diamonds. Yeah. But engagement ring, bought that on. That was like $10,000.
Sweet.
Yeah. Expect to see that check any day now. No, but we, in all honesty, we really appreciate it. Like, you know, we don't, as everybody's well aware, if you're listening to the show, we don't charge for the show, and so that's how you can help us out and help keep the show going.
Speaking of Amazon, this kind of goes along the lines of Amazon. I had a listener on Facebook send me a question about video lights, asking, you know, what video light that I use, and I basically told him the information. It's a Lumahawk one. Got it a couple years ago now, but it was relatively pricey for what it does, right? So I mean, it's great light.
What is relatively pricey?
I can't remember exactly, but I'm gonna say somewhere in the ballpark of $300. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it has the adjustable color temperature and blah blah blah. You know, I've talked about it in the past, so I don't need to rehash everything. But what it forced me to do was just kind of type in, because I wanted to just sort of think, okay, well, what are the alternatives now? Because it's changed. The landscape of those LED lights has changed a lot. They used to be very expensive, and now the price has really come down on some of and thanks to a bunch of knockoffs. And so Yang Nuo has one that gets extremely good reviews. So I did a little bit of research, and it gets extremely good reviews, and it's roughly about the same size. They have a small one that's like a 300 LED light panel. I think mine has 312 lights. So let's call it a push there. And it has adjustable temperature, and it looks really sweet. Comes with barn doors included, and it's $80 and available on Amazon. So $80 Canadian. Now, here's the kicker. Does not come with a battery.
There you go.
But still, it doesn't come with a battery, and it doesn't come with the, wall kind of adapter plug, so you can plug it into your wall for power as well. Doesn't come with either of those accessories. But still, even if you buy one or both of those accessories, you're still at half the price of the Lumahawk. Now, again, there's probably a few fine differences in build quality. It's probably a little bit better. And I have to say mine is a beast. It's awesome. But I would probably, if I was entering right now and I just didn't know how much I was going to use an LED light, I'd be all over this this Yang Nuo based on my previous experiences with Yang Nuo. I think it's a great entry level, and I might pick one up just to have a second LED light.
I was actually looking at this after I saw your post and thought, you know, I would like one myself, would come in very handy, especially for video stuff. And so I did check into that. So I might pull the trigger on that myself.
Did you look at how much the accessories are? Because I didn't get that far to see how much the battery was. I think it uses kind of like a Sony-type battery. Mm-hmm. And so you can just buy that, I'm sure, just on Amazon and not going through and buying the exact Yongnuo one. Because I had seen some people post, you know, on some of the threads, the discussion forums about, oh, you can use this battery and that battery. So I'm sure that the battery can't be that expensive that you could use.
Mm-hmm. I did not do the research either.
Okay, but the panel gets amazing reviews. There's all kinds of video reviews. So if anyone is in the market, I would definitely consider this if you're trying to go budget and like I say, I love my LED light. I use it quite a bit. In the last week, I've used it. I used it on Photo Challenge. It's my go-to for a birthday picture. As far as you know, basically almost effectively creating just a more powerful candlelight so that it looks like all the light in the room is from candlelight, but it falls off real quick, and it's a sweet little move for a kid's birthday party. And then mm-hmm. you can shoot on whatever continuous mode and not worry about flash popping or whatnot. So it's awesome.
Have you ever shot it through, I was going to say frost, but you know what frost is? Like the middle part, you know, your 5-in-1 reflector that you have?
My five, yeah.
Your big reflector.
I know what you're saying. It actually has a special little, I don't know, I guess you'd call it a gel, but a little insert that does that same effect. I hardly ever use it. It's supposed to diffuse it a bit. Like, yeah.
Right, but I mean, diffuse is one thing, but bigger is bigger. You can't really replicate that. So if you're to fire it on full power and shoot it through the frost or whatever you're going to call
the sort of translucent silk, white,
you're probably going to get a really great effect, especially since we can go to, you know, higher ISOs now without, you know, blinking. That's going to look great.
And what scenario are you thinking about using that?
In pretty much anything, if you fire it into an umbrella, it's going to effectively be a larger light source and thus softer. I mean, diffusing it is one thing, but making it physically bigger by using an umbrella or the frost or the silk or whatever, that really will do an even better job of creating great light.
I will try that. Obviously, it's going to have to be pretty dark. I'm thinking. Yeah. I know you're saying the ISO, but you know, I'm thinking on full power in an umbrella, I'm going to have to be like inches from the subject, or I'm going to have to be in a really dark surrounding environment for that to, with that kind of filter in between, have enough light.
Possibly.
It's not that bright. It is. If someone's standing looking at it, they're like, oh, that's super bright. But in terms of knowing where I'm at on my ISOs when I use that as the only light source, it's definitely, you're cranking the ISO. Mm-hmm. Especially if you want shutter speed like a birthday photo shot where they're blowing out the candles and you don't want a whole bunch of blur.
I'm thinking in terms of video, which is going to be 1/50th of a second.
Yeah, for video, I think you're bang on. I think you could do whatever mm-hmm. you want with 1/50th of a second.
Okay, I'm getting two of them then.
Yeah.
Forget it. Two of them's going to do it.
There you go.
What's going on, Adam? Fort McMurray's going on.
Yeah.
It's making news all over. Like, it's making the European news. It's making CNN. I see it. It's just unbelievable. And
the videos are pretty unbelievable.
I can't watch much of them. It's pretty heartbreaking.
Yeah, we had in our, it's kind of, it hits pretty close to home for me, not in a super personal, like, family or anything like that, but our company, like the company that owns the clinic that I work for, the physiotherapy clinic, had a location. I say had because it's completely burned down in Fort McMurray, which is now gone, and all the people that work there, all their houses are gone. And so there's 24 people that worked at that clinic that are now both homeless and jobless. So that's pretty crazy. So we've been getting all kinds of emails about anything people can do to help and all of that. So it is pretty astonishing what's happened, and the video footage is unbelievable. I think I was listening to the radio today and, you know, hearing people talk about, you know, all the positives that can come from social media. And I totally agree. I think that this is kind of social media at its best. You're seeing way more positive than you are negative, I think, in terms of how the community is coming together and how people are supporting each other. And I definitely, I've seen a lot of good things, power of the human spirit stuff.
Agreed. So hoping for some rain in the forecast.
Yes, definitely hoping for some rain.
Yeah. On a positive note, let's turn this around. We got a message a while back. I don't know if you ever addressed it. But evidently, your wife looks like everybody loves Raymond's wife.
Yeah. Some listener said that. And I when I saw the picture, because he kind of sent a split screen, I said, I can see that. Mm-hmm. But never has that ever come up in the past. So. I think my wife took that as a compliment.
I would think so.
Yeah.
No, it's always the case. The sitcom wives are always good looking.
Yeah.
Like far too good looking for their husbands.
Well, yeah, not in this case, but.
I'm looking at you, King of Queens. Come on now. Seriously?
Sure.
UPS driver.
I'll take that. He's awesome.
Yeah, you know, he's awesome, but come on.
Kevin James, right?
Yeah. But there's no way. There's no way he's landing that. Come on, in life.
I agree.
No, I've always thought your wife looks like a different actress whose name I can't think of right now.
Well, that's helpful.
Yeah. Oh, Ernest Borgnine. No. No.
I'll tell her that. Yeah.
No. Oh, geez. We'll talk about it next week because. Okay. It's Catherine something.
Great. That narrows it down.
Your wife's a much better looking version of Catherine. What's her name? Who was in. Was the one she's been in every movie ever?
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that
independent,
one.
Independent actress, but she was in what was the Sean Penn movie, Into the Wild?
I still haven't seen it.
So. Catherine Keener.
All right, I'll Google that.
Your wife's a better looking version of Catherine Keener.
Great.
No offense to Catherine Keener. I'm just pumping up your wife a little bit. That's all.
Okay, great.
Yeah. So there you go. So that's the thing. Now back to more negative. Nah, not negative. This isn't negative. Ish.
Okay.
I had to make an adjustment on our website today, the twohosers.com site.
Okay, because just way too much web traffic, couldn't handle it. That's why, right?
Yeah, I had to go to a super secure extra server. Snowden hooked me up. It was fine. He gets a discount.
Right.
No. I had to make an adjustment to the way comments are handled.
Okay.
Because
we don't do them?
No, we do them, and people send them. That's great, but they're getting the amount of spam that's coming in now is overwhelming.
That's because of the spammers know this is the place to be.
Yeah, no, obviously the spammers really recognize this is out of the top 10 websites. This is the one we want to hit. They want to sell insurance through us. Like that's what's happening.
Right.
The spam recently for a while, you know, I update the spam filtered something and it takes care of it, and then it doesn't, and then the spam gets smarter, and then now there's no updates to be had, and I'm getting overwhelmed, and I don't feel like it.
Okay,
it's ridiculous. So what I've done,
take it right off the web.
Yeah, we're shutting down entirely. We're going to release the show on LPs every week. You can mail order.
Yeah.
No, the way it's going to work now is that essentially only the last two, maybe three episodes will have open comment sections.
Okay.
And everything past that. Once a post is 14 days old, it'll be closed to commenting. All the comments will stay. Can't add any new ones.
I'm devastated by this change.
Well, we'll see how this goes, but the next step is just to cancel it altogether. Which is too bad because we do get actual comments on there, which we appreciate. But once again, there's a select few million, ruining it for the few in this case.
Okay. All
so
right.
There you go. So that's the comments. Interesting. Did you shoot any of it?
No, but interesting that that Adam Carolla used one of my photos. You noticed this, and he posted a happy birthday on Twitter and Facebook to his news girl and used one of the Vancouver photos I shot. So after kind of my long-winded explanation last week about how I expected nothing of anything, yeah, he used one of my photos, and then producer Gary has now his new Twitter photo that I noticed is one of the photos I shot of him at the Vancouver show. So
you're blowing up.
There you go. No, well, it's neither here nor there. It is here and there. Well, but I mean, I certainly wouldn't call that in the blowing up. I just like the fact that those guys used my stuff. So that's right there makes it worth it.
Did you think I was minimizing your achievement by that? I was just making an interlude there.
Oh no, I definitely thought. I didn't think you were making fun of it. I definitely thought you were blowing it out of proportion. Let's say that much. Yeah.
No. Okay. You aren't blowing up, but still very cool that you went, you know, 2 for 2 on that.
Still very cool. I mean, Adam, I did not watermark anything, which they said I had full right to do. I don't like it in particular, but so I didn't get credit for the News Girl photo, but I did get credit for all the photos from producer Gary in terms of, you know, they linked them to me and all that. So, but I'm fine with that. I just like the fact that he used it. That was the whole intention, is just, hey, hopefully you like this stuff, and if they do, then they'll use it, and clearly they're both making use of it, so that's great. I'm very happy about that.
Yes, I'm very proud of you, which sounds like I'm being saying it in a facetious way. I'm not.
Well, they get photographers to take photos for them all over the place all the time, and yeah, I'm pretty sure that Gary's Twitter photo previously wasn't taken by someone at a previous show, and now it is.
Yeah, you guys suck.
Yeah, that's right. That's all it is. Step is me it just up. Telling everybody else that they suck.
Yeah, camera flip. Boom. I'm out.
I think that's a shirt right there, just flipping a camera.
I might cut this part and make it.
That's awesome. Someone's going to make that shirt, because that is awesome. Yeah.
Camera flip. No, I don't think that. I don't know how much crossover there is in the baseball/photography world. Like, we might be 2 of the 4.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You don't even have to recognize it from the baseball. It'd just be awesome. It'd just be an awesome move. Just flip your camera and smash on the floor as you walk away.
I think. Yeah, we're doing it.
I'm out.
I'm shooting a video of that.
I think you could start a thing, though. Like, hey, who's got the best camera flip? Yeah. I've probably got an old beater camera up in my closet that I could do with that. Yeah.
at a wedding, you snap the photo and go, yeah, nailed it. Later.
Everyone just looking, oh my God.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, it would be.
Well, I have old laptops like that. They're gutless. Like, I can't use them, right? Like, they're throwaways.
Yeah,
but they physically look like good laptops.
Yeah.
So I just want to, just for fun, you have to video it. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I just want to walk around the old town and just kind of like juggle stuff in my hand and then just drop the laptop in front of people on those cobblestones.
Yeah, yeah, that would be awesome. It just like a devastated look on your face. I also thought you could do the same thing with one of those laptops. You just got to figure out a need or a reason for you to, you know, conduct a big PowerPoint presentation. And then just as, you know, as you're finishing it up, just basically take the laptop and just, again, a flip on the tile floor, just smash. Like, but then you got to announce, I'm out. Like, nailed it, I'm out.
All of a sudden, you're Pete Townsend. That's awesome. They initiated this bat flip early on. Yeah. I think we have a whole, this is going to work out just fine.
So the answer to your question is no, I didn't really shoot anything interesting this week, because that was a week previous.
I tried and didn't. We went hiking yesterday. Yesterday being Thursday, May the 5th, was, it's Father's Day here in Germany.
They do it early. They want to beat it to Mother's Day, because Mother's Day is this weekend here.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Yeah. Every day is Mother's Day.
Oh, okay.
That's what I tell people. So it's Father's Day, but Father's Day is different here. Like, Father's Day, for some reason, and I think the idea is that all the fathers basically ditch the families, and they get, like, a wagon, like the one you have, like, pull your kids in.
Yeah.
Okay. Just fill it full of beer, and then just walk across the countryside, just getting hammered, until you eventually fall down somewhere.
Right, gotcha.
That's what Father's Day is here. And we've done that before, but a long, long time ago, before we had kids, ironically. But yesterday we went for a family hike, like multiple families, like, I don't know, I'm going to say six families, all with kids in around our kids' age, and went for hiked up by this chapel on the hill near us, and then all around through the woods and on the hillside. It was great. And I thought, I'll take my camera. It's gonna be gold. I'm gonna have to stop at around 300 photos and just go like I've got. Camera flip. I'm gonna be done.
I'm out. Yeah.
I got nothing.
Wow.
But I mean, to be fair, we started the hike at 11:30 a.m.
Yeah. Not the best,
sunny day.
Not the best time. Yeah.
No. And out in the open, it wasn't even the woods at that point, and it was just, all right, here we go. And then everybody's kind of jammed together. So many families, and everybody's hiking together on a small path. It's just, you can't really get it. I just didn't see anything I wanted to shoot. So I shot a couple of pictures of my kids the best I could, and they're not even very good. And you look at those photos, you wouldn't think, hey, that guy should have a podcast.
Right.
Yeah, he should take up another sport, like knitting. Right. That's what he should do.
So you're not going to share those?
No. Well, I mean, I'm maybe with a couple of the people who are in them, but I'm not going to share them with you.
Right.
I'm going to waste your time with it.
Okay, thank you.
So, but I did take the 5D Classic and the 50mm, which I don't normally do. I normally take the 40D and the 30, which is, relatively speaking, similar.
Right.
I just thought, no, I'm gonna get the 5D Classic on this. I'm gonna use every little bit I can. I want the full frame experience. Big failure.
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. Won't be doing that again.
So it's not necessarily the camera that makes the photo, is what you're saying.
No. This was circumstances, and I mean, not much I could have done. And then plus, my son decided, 20 minutes into the 2-hour hike, that he was going to fall asleep. Mm-hmm. So we had one of those giant backpacks that are built for 11-month-olds.
Right.
Except my gargantuan grizzly bear 2.5-year-old son was in there sleeping.
Mm.
So that was I couldn't really, take a lot of good photos with that on my back.
Yeah, that's a little bit distracting.
Yeah. He was a delight.
Okay.
So anyway, we'll need to come see you, get an adjustment.
Okay.
Yeah. Bit of a mess.
Okay.
Photo challenge.
Yes.
This was push process.
And you just give us a little quick explanation of what you meant by that. Cause I think I did what I was supposed to do, but I'm not 100% sure.
You did more than you were supposed to do.
Okay.
So, and not in a good way, but I understand where you were going.
Oh no.
I understand where you were going. Oh, no. Pushing, which is going to be the episode, the topic of this week's episode is the push process. It's a film process.
Mm-hmm.
When you basically underexpose your film and overprocess it for effect.
Okay.
And that's what we want to replicate digitally. And so I've figured, hey, I could probably show you how to do it, and then we do it next week, or we could do it and embarrass you.
Okay, but, perfect.
No, I wouldn't. Not be embarrassed. So with that, let's have a look at your photo. Like, I did send you a short email outlining what push meant.
Yeah, I think I've kind of read it, and then I just said I'm going to do what I think it means.
Okay. Let's have a look at your photo.
Okay, so we're going to look at my finished one.
Okay, you're looking at your finished one.
Okay.
So I can offer you $21 and a Casio.
This watch is... I just got this watch, a present. Absolutely love this watch. If you want me to sell you on a watch, this is the greatest.
I do. I'm not even joking. Why? What is great about this watch?
Oh my God, this watch is fantastic. So
self-winding?
No eco drive, so it no battery, runs off light, so will last a good 15 to 20 years, and okay. Never need a battery. It is titanium, so it weighs nothing. So most watches like this would be stainless steel, about 5 times heavier. So you basically can hardly feel this thing on your wrist, which is great because I want a watch that I can work with. And I learned a lot about watches when I picked this watch. This is a sapphire crystal, so the covering, the clear covering on watches, varies highly from plexiglass to glass to sapphire, which is a lot pricier, but Extremely scratch resistant. So my last couple watches, what kept happening is because, you know, I'm not super careful. The front of the watch face starts to get scratches on it. Well, sapphire is one of the hardest surfaces on Earth, and so it is very difficult to scratch. Now, because it's super hard, you could shatter it, so you wouldn't want to drop it on something sharp because it's so hard it'll shatter.
Don't do a watch flip.
Yeah, don't do a watch flip onto tile floor, but extremely scratch resistant. So this watch is everything that I wanted. I basically kind of handpicked it for the fact that I wanted super light, I wanted never to have a battery, and I wanted something that will not scratch or would be extreme, unless I'm rubbing diamonds on it, isn't likely to scratch.
Okay, how many watches do you own?
I have about three. This is definitely the nicest watch that
I've had. As an adult, how old were you the first time you had a real watch?
Real watch by like a Timex Iron Man kind of watch? Or
anything?
A real...
No. Anything that's not didn't have Mickey Mouse on it.
Probably about, 14 or 15, like a real watch. Yeah. I have a love for watches, but it's growing as I get older. I want nicer and nicer. And this is a really nice... And I didn't realize how nice... Citizen, which was a Japanese company, is now like a big player in the watch game. Like this was bought at a jewelry store, this watch. And
the issue with Citizen is
they make crappy TVs or
no, nothing like that. The reason I have when I was watch shopping, I didn't want a Citizen. I just for some reason I don't like the name.
Yeah.
And that's me. That's 100% on me. That's not...
When I was looking, I kept thinking, really? Citizen has such... Like, in my head, it was always like a cheaper electronics kind of company. Oh, they are beauty in the watch. I mean, it was basically, I was choosing between Seiko and Citizen, both Japanese, both really innovators in the technology of using light to basically power their watches. And they have that kind of market cornered. Seiko makes ones called Solar. Citizen makes what? The EcoDrive ones, and both make really, really reliable and nice watches. And
like no love for Switzerland.
No love for Switzerland. In terms of what I wanted titanium, like I say, with the sapphire, and I basically was looking at Japanese manufacturers because they have the market on this.
Just a word to the listener: we're gonna go through the looking glass on this.
Okay,
buckle up.
Okay,
yeah.
But here, my picture was way underexposed because I...
No, stop. Go back. I'm not done with the watches
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I'm interested to know because of your three watches, how many of them have the metal band?
I'm going to say I have three metal band watches.
Okay, so three for three.
Yeah, I like metal band. Oh, but I do have a dressier watch that's like a Kenneth Cole, but it's a rubber band. So I do have one that's kind of a nicer watch. But I scratched the heck out of the face, and that's why I had to learn about how the crystals differ. Because I really liked that watch, but wasn't durable. And I said, this one is going to be durable.
Because for almost the entirety of my adult life, I've been a no watch guy.
Yeah, love watches.
But for me, it was not a thing. I didn't own a watch, and I was a little too proud of that, actually. You know, I don't need a watch. And then, as I got away from being a cell phone guy, a microwave guy, getting into analog photography when I can, I no longer want to have digital clocks with me. Because you don't need a watch. You have your iPhone.
Yeah, you don't need it. Although for me, I work in a profession where it's all time is all important, and I'm not I don't have a phone to check, or a lot of times I'm in a room without a clock. So for me, it's super important that I have a watch on for work, just so I stay on time for people.
And I hear you. And so, but you know, when I was turning 40, and my wife said, you know, what do you want for your birthday? And I said, you know what? I think I would like a watch, like not a great watch, but a good watch. Like I'll spend a few hundred dollars. I don't know what I had no idea what watches cost.
Yeah,
like I knew you could spend $100,000 if you wanted to.
Yeah, this one was about this watch actually ended up being on clearance at the jewelry place, so it was only I want to say $250 before tax, but it was for something before. Like if I bought, like this was sort of the last year's model. They don't currently sell this one at Citizen like on their website or anything. This is last year's, which essentially made it for a 40% off. But these go for about 400 and change. This style watch between 400 and 500 with all the titanium plus the sapphire and the EcoDrive. Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. So we have friends that
Canadian, that is. It's probably free right. in the U.S., yeah.
We have friends who go hog wild, like you know, our lawyer friend who enjoys spending a lot of money on watches, like thousands and thousands.
Oh yeah, you can buy a $2,000 watch looks like this. I can't either. But you can. That I couldn't tell by looking at it any different. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. So when I ended up not buying a watch at 40, but last year I decided, you know, I'm gonna go get a watch, and I couldn't find anything I liked. There's something, you know, I'm very specific about what I want. I wanted a black leather strap.
Okay.
Like for me, because that can be casual, that can be dressy if you want it. Like in certain, I mean, I don't know. I don't read GQ, but I'm assuming they have rules about what is considered dressy and what is considered functional.
Yeah.
I figured with black leather is the black T-shirt for me. If you own a halfway decent, honestly, spend $20 on a black T-shirt, you can wear it to any party.
Yeah.
Almost. As long as it's not black tie, if it's a party where people are wearing dress shirts, you show up in your black T-shirt, you're good to go. You go to a barbecue, people are wearing tank tops, you have your black T-shirt, you're in.
Okay.
You don't have to worry about it. So that's what I look for in a watch. I wanted a chronograph because I kind of like that. I just like the whole, that angle, that sort of.
I'm opposite. No chronographs. I completely steer away from them.
Because?
It's too busy. It's too busy. I need simple. And I, like I say, for me, it's the function of knowing the time when I'm mm-hmm. working. So the chronograph is just it's too much going on for me. I like
simple. I agree. I bought a wildly simple chronograph.
Okay.
Like that was very specifically because I was like, yeah, I don't need bells and whistles. To me, the font was important of the numbers and this and that. But I ended up spending a lot less money. I bought basically it was made in China, and I don't care. They're trying to market it as a French watch, you know, French company. It's nonsense, but it's a very, very well built knockoff.
Okay.
And so I didn't care. So it was like $150 or something like that, and I was like, it keeps perfectly accurate time. It looks great. It looks like a real watch. It's heavy. It's well built. Bam. We're all good.
There you go.
So there you go. So back to your photo.
Back to my photo. So way underexposed because I thought that was the object here. And then I brought it way back. Mm-hmm. So I pushed it. I shot this in the house at ISO 200, and I was using my 70-200 and holding a video light over top of it to light it.
Okay.
And used great tip, I think, if you're going to do a product shot, the big silver reflector we were talking about earlier, the 5-in-1 or whatever it is, mm-hmm. Completely folded up like it's going to be put away in its bag, just so it's all kind of scrumply. Uh-huh. And just laid the watch on there. And I knew it when I was going to take this photo. I'm like, I know what I want my background to be. I want it to be all kind of crystally. I did one a couple years ago with using a watch. I like watches. So again, watch photos. But with the auto shade, the silver kind of bubbly auto shade as a background, I like this background much better. And it's much easier to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So laid it on there, and so I got the video light, and I got a 70-200 lens, which just is what was on the camera, and so I'm zoomed into 200 millimeters, and I've got the video light in one hand because I'm too lazy to set up a light stand, so I'm holding it out with one arm, zoomed into 200 so that I don't have to crop much, and then as a result, with one hand and the video light, I need a pretty fast shutter speed because I can't keep this setup steady with one hand, mm-hmm. so I shot it at 1/400th of a second. And so in order to keep the camera somewhat steady, shot it on burst mode in 1/400th. And that's why I needed I could have dropped the ISO further, except for I wanted to shoot at 1/400th, or I knew I'd never be in focus with the other given scenario that I was dealing with.
Right.
So then it's basically the histogram is way pushed off into the black, mm-hmm. and I included a picture of the original, and then I just basically jacked up the exposure and brought the shadows up a bit to get the final image. So,
which is ridiculous how good it looks.
I was happy considering how underexposed the original is.
Yeah,
I
you
did.
You cropped it, correct?
You cropped it a little bit, yeah.
Okay,
and then I just saw some parts of the black that I just didn't like in the final image. So I like this was a more balanced image for what I was going for. So that's why I cropped mm-hmm. it the way it is. So you definitely get a grain when you go in close because of how much I'm cranking the exposure. You definitely get a bunch of grain in the blacks. But again, I think just looking at the 800 pixel image, I mean, at first glance, you wouldn't know that I way underexposed this.
No. How many stops under did you go?
I'm going to say three. Like it was right. Registering the light meter, it was all the way to the end. So would that count as three?
Hard to say. I mean, technically two in the cannon, but you went under it. So yeah, I'm going to guess just by looking at your before image, probably I'd say three stops is probably legit. So there you go. Okay.
But my tip is use that as a product background, because don't you just like how that background looks?
Yeah, it looks great. That's something I've never thought to use.
Me either. But when I went to pull up my watch and I thought, am I going to use the auto shit again? No, I need something different. And then that was just peeking at me in the corner. I'm like, boom, I knew what that was going to do. And yeah, another use for the video light. So go buy one on Amazon.
Do it. Yeah. All right. Let's have a look at my photo. Here's my shoes.
Okay. They're pretty nice.
They're pretty. I like my shoes. So this is the first pair of shoes I've liked. And let's do 20 minutes on shoes.
Okay, so no, wait a second. Now, this is the post-push. Like, you've pushed this already.
Yes.
I'm just confused. So you shot this much less exposed?
No.
Okay, so this is the pre-push?
There's no push.
So I'm confused then.
Well, we're replicating the push digitally. That's the thing. We'll get into that right now. I'll tell you what.
Forget it.
Do a quick critique of the photo, and we'll get right into how we replicate doing the push process.
I don't particularly like it.
Too bad. I've already sent it to you.
Mm-hmm. As a birthday card. Oh, that was the I never said that, but. It's funny you bring up 40. Like, I just turned 40. That was what the watch is for. I don't think I ever said that. So
I meant to say that. I saw it because we're guys and don't really care. I didn't know it was your birthday at all.
Yeah, you're usually the guy that's good about birthdays. I always feel bad because I'm horrific, but you definitely have lost your magic.
No, I have not.
You totally have.
I have thrown my magic in the garbage. Because your buddy Mark Zuckerberg ruined it for everybody.
Oh, okay.
I used to be the guy who remembered everybody's birthday, and then it became a thing, and now I'm like, well, I'm just if I can't be the one doing it, then I'm going to be pissy and go sit in the corner and cry.
Okay, I get it, yeah.
So thanks a lot. Once again, thank you, Mr. Zuckerberg.
Back to the shoes. I'm not sure why I don't like it, but I don't like it.
Okay, yeah, I don't really care. I didn't want to shoot my kids again. Which was the idea, but I wanted to shoot something very high contrast, and then do the. There is some pushing here, like there is some, which I'll explain in the process. I mean, I am replicating a very high contrast sort of a pushed film look.
Okay, do you like this photo?
Yeah,
that's kind of how I feel. I don't hate it. I don't want to smash my computer monitor or anything. That's it. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Oh, no. It doesn't. It. I mean, the only thing that I'm going to go ahead and pump my tires on is that, yeah, the toes are in the light, and then I made sure to frame the back of the shoes in that other light. And so, in terms of.
Congratulations.
It gets great. You know, man, that guy can polish a turd. Oh, you never seen a turd so shiny. That guy. Yeah, we call him TP. Yeah, no, turd polisher. Yeah. Also toilet paper, ironically. Yeah, that's his nickname. Also, he lives in a tent. Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, too soon with the Indians?
A little bit.
Sorry, natives? Yeah. Right. Yeah. Anyways, it's a good example of what we're going to talk about right now, which is... The push process, pushing film.
Okay.
Then that's exactly what it is. It's a film terminology. When we shoot film, I love shooting film, but a whole bunch of hipsters love pretending to shoot film. It's awesome, but I really like it. I mean, and you think like, yeah, I'm going to go shoot film. I'm going to expose it. I'm going to send it to the lab or do it myself. Hey, I'm going to process it normally. Bam, I got black and white film. There's so much more than just that. Like you can do so much. With your film, you can push it, for example, which is what we're talking about right now. So I attended a seminar a couple years ago with Chris Marquardt, all about pushing and pulling, which we'll talk about next week, but pushing film and what that even means. And essentially what it means is you're going to underexpose your film and then overprocess it. When it's in the developer, in the tank with the chemicals, you're going to go long.
Okay.
Or you're going to go stronger, or, you know, there's many ways to do it. There's so many variables in film. Like, that's kind of the beauty and the beast, actually, because it's really hard to replicate because there are so many variables. Like, if you want to replicate something that you did before, it's very difficult to do again because of just so many different things that change, hence the name variables. So what we do in this case is we take our film, and let's say it's ISO 400, which this was. Like, I have an example up here of a film shot, a brick wall with a sign.
Okay.
You see it. Okay, yeah, that's shot on film. That was shot at Chris's film workshop a few years ago. And this was pushed two stops. And what that means is we took ISO 400 and we just basically told our light meter, in this case in the camera, that it's actually ISO 1600.
Okay.
We said, hey, it's more sensitive, which means when we go to shoot it normally, we're not going to have enough light to make an image.
Right.
A proper exposed image. So, in order to compensate, to go from 400 to 1600, you go to 400 to 800 is double, to 1600 a double again. Mm-hmm. That's two stops.
Two stops, yeah.
So we push this film two stops. In order to make up for that, we put it in the developer longer. Now, four times as long? It doesn't actually work like that. But if you want to figure out and actually do film processing, you can go online and find out, you know, how much longer you need to process.
Okay.
So what ends up happening in this process, in the film process, the chemical process that's happening, is that the blacks and the whites are not treated the same. The blacks, once they are essentially developed, they're developed. And as we process longer, it's the whites that get processed more. So the blacks are fine, the whites get processed more in order to catch up, and what we end up getting is an image with a much higher contrast than normal.
Okay.
So that's what happens.
So how do we do that digitally?
Well, one more note. Why would you do this, besides the contrast part, why would you do this anyways? Like, in film?
I don't know.
Well, let's say I'm shooting your wedding.
Can I say, for example, I wouldn't do this.
You might. We might do it in the future.
No, not doing it.
I don't do a lot of pushing, and I should. Generally, pushing happens when you get on location and you're like, oh wow, it is way darker in this hall than I thought it was, and you're shooting film, which we're not doing anymore anyways.
Right.
But you're thinking, oh man, I got 400. Actually, this has come up. This has come up in the last couple of months. A friend of mine, a listener of the show, came to visit. A guy who I'm sure we talked about, came and brought his kids, and we went out. It was in the winter time, and so it got dark really early. And he only had film. He brought film with him, and it got dark. And he wanted to take a picture and thought, wow, I have ISO 400 in here, and it's the sun is gone. Mm-hmm. All I can do is expose it at 1600 and then overprocess it.
Right.
So he's going to push it two stops just to get an image. And that's generally what you end up doing. It's like, all right, well, I'll make the best of a bad situation and end up getting a kind of a cool look to it. Like, the high contrast look is cool.
Right.
So that's why you do it. The other reason is if you do it like in full daylight, like this shot that I'm showing you is in full daylight. It was hard to actually get, hard to shoot ISO 1600 in daylight, because I only that particular camera can only go up to 1/1000th of a second,
right?
Which means I was shooting at f 16 to get an image, and there it is.
Okay, so now bring this back around to digital. Tell me how this applies, because I can just boost the ISO up and down. Why do I need to know this?
Because you want to replicate this look digitally.
Okay.
Now, that's the thing, is now when you get into digital, you don't need to You don't need to underexpose.
Right.
But you still want it to look like this. For example, let's say you want to replicate this look. Don't underexpose and then push it up.
That's what I did.
That's what you did. You took it very literally.
Yes, that's what I thought I was supposed to do.
Oh, you lose no points for that.
Okay.
But you didn't need to do it.
Okay.
And generally when I think about, you know, pushing and pulling, I don't process my own color film. In fact, I don't even get color film processed anymore. I shoot black and white. I process black and white. So if I'm going to pull or push, I do it myself.
Gotcha.
So for me, pushing and pulling is 100% a black and white process. You can do it in color. I just don't. And so I know nothing about it. There's probably more variables about what color responds to pushing more than others. So for me, it's just all about the black and white. So gotcha. There you go. So the end result, high contrast, generally more grain. That's kind of what can happen. Okay. Mm-hmm. You get nice dark blacks with little or no detail, very few midtones, and then you get bright highlights. So if you look at the film image I put up there, that's what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
It's bright, dark, very little in between. And the histogram is going to look like that.
Gotcha.
Stacked up to the left, stacked up to the right, very little in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Although this is actually the histogram from my award-winning sneaker photo that we talked about earlier. Yeah. But it's the same. It would be basically identical. That's how it ends up. I mean, in the middle is the gray, where the grays are. There aren't very many grays.
Right.
As can be seen. So it's all black and white. That's kind of what we're going for. So how do we do it? We have variable ISO. We have high ISO. So you could have shot yours at ISO 3200 with your 6D and had a great image.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably what you should have done.
Okay.
Okay. So on the one hand, while film is amazing, and that when you overprocess it, it's kind of got this great effect, in digital, it doesn't work like that. If you take your image and basically crank up the exposure three stops, the blacks are coming with it.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yeah, I used the sliders and brought them back down a little bit. But yeah, and I had to play with the contrast. And again, it seemed like a bunch of post-production fiddling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For no reason.
For no reason. Well, that's what I thought.
Yes. And in your case, it was no reason. That wasn't really what you were going for. I mean, right. For the photo challenge. So here's how we do it. In Lightroom, we're going to talk about Lightroom because I use Lightroom, Adam uses Lightroom, but the process itself is generally universal. So if you do it in Photoshop, you do it in Aperture, whatever you want to do it in, you'll figure out your version of this.
Okay, iPhoto?
Probably.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty powerful. I haven't used it. It's not. Is there iPhoto anymore? I think it's called Photos.
Okay, whatever it is called, yeah.
So if you were to underexpose like Adam did and ramp up the exposure and push it two stops, the blacks are coming with it. They're going to get milky and blah. You don't want that. Okay?
Right.
So shoot, just start off, expose it properly.
Okay?
So what I did with my Pulitzer Prize winning sneaker photo is expose for the highlights.
Okay.
I put myself in a very high contrast, hard light position. That's in my basement. There's light coming in, like that's in the very small windows that are at the top of the wall, make that spotlight effect. So I knew that I was going to be in a very high contrast situation as it was. So I just basically shot it in color, exposed for the highlights, just so that they're right there on the edge, and then brought it into Lightroom. Step one, convert it to black and white.
Okay.
Which is just that one little click. It's very, very simple. Convert it to black and white. Next, I ramp up the contrast slider. Ramp it to the right. Just really pump that contrast. Spread that histogram out.
Okay.
Add your clarity. This is where clarity can, but might not always, help you out. Clarity slider is such a weird slider, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has. And I'm never sure exactly what the effect's going to be until I start playing with it.
Yeah, and then sometimes I'm like, well, dial that right back.
Yeah.
Get rid of that. Sometimes it's awesome, sometimes it's not. So that's the order I do it in. Next, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go in and adjust the white balance, which sounds funny because we're black and white,
mm-hmm.
but it will affect how your final image looks.
Definitely.
So kind of season that to taste, and then from there you can go in Lightroom and you can bring up each individual color, like the blue, the red, whatever, you know, in terms of how much sort of replicating filters, like red filter, yellow filter, orange filter, stuff like that. So I do a little bit of that, but I wouldn't worry too much about that out of the gate. That's okay. A little bit more advanced stuff.
Yep.
So, got the white balance dialed in, got the colors. Now, here's where you may want to bring up the whites or the highlights a little bit, which is kind of counterintuitive. Generally, you're bringing the highlights and the whites back.
Right, but you're trying to separate the two ends of the spectrum.
You want to push it to the side. So I take the whites and the highlights separately, bring them up to taste, see how I like it, see what happens to the whites. I want to maintain detail. I don't like it necessarily being blown right out.
Right.
So you can go ahead and put your overlay on, if you like, and see if you're losing anything. So in terms of whites, I want to maintain detail, but it should be right at the edge. The brightest bright should be right on the far right of the histogram. Next, I bring down the black slider. And here's where I don't mind losing the blacks. I don't mind losing shadow detail in this situation.
Great. Yeah, I agree.
You can see on the histogram that, yeah, I'm losing some of it. But it's okay. It's kind of part of the effect.
Right.
Okay. Two more little moves, and you're done. This is the simple version. You have a curve slider. They have a little, the little curves panel.
Yep.
I use that all the time. In fact, I have it set on import. I have a basic curves profile. I always use like a little S curve.
Okay.
Very very minor, but when you're doing this, you want to ramp that up. So basically, you take the top of the click on a point in the sort of the top of that diagonal line,
mm-hmm.
drag it up and to the left, go down to the bottom mid part of that line, and go down and to the right. And that's going to give you a nice little S. And you're going to see some increased contrast in your image based on that.
Okay.
So that's the other move. And the last is right in Lightroom, go ahead and add some grain. And add what you like. Like, I'm not going to tell you add, exact numbers, but just, go ahead and add some grain in there because it's going to kind of replicate that film, especially the pushed film look.
Okay.
And there you go. There you're going to have a histogram that looks like mine-ish. Obviously, results will vary, but that's how you're going to replicate a pushed image, pushed film.
Great.
Awesome. For next week, challenge for next week, Adam.
Yeah.
Pull.
Okay, so that's the opposite.
Yeah. That's why they call it that.
So overexposed and then bringing it back down.
Well, we'll talk about it next week. Don't spoil it.
But that's the film version, is the overexposed and bringing it back down. But what you're saying is I shouldn't shoot a picture three stops over and then pull the exposure down like the reverse of what I did this week.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Okay. Try to shoot the right exposure to
start. I'm not going to do that. Yeah, that's the beauty of it. It's kind of, it is kind of dirty pool because we're shooting digital, but yet we're trying to replicate a film process. And now, when you say replicate, it's going to look like it. It's not going to be perfect.
Right.
Film is film and blah, blah, blah. The conversation's been had many, many times. It is pretty awesome. It looks great, and we can kind of mimic that. That's what we're looking to do, is sort of come in that general vicinity of what it's going to look like. So that next week, we're doing the poll. Websites. Adam, where can people find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca. I'm going to have to get a few updated photos up there because it's been a little while. But yes, check it out because it's awesome.
It is awesome. I'm there daily hoping for updates.
Okay.
And you can... Oh, go ahead. You prompt it, like we're pros.
And you can find your stuff?
Oh, I'm glad you asked, Adam. AlanAtridge.com, or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find all the links and the Amazon and the photos that we just talked about. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.